And a good afternoon. I come to you from Oracle Arena in Oakland as the Kings will take on the Warriors, minus Steph Curry, minus Kevin Durant, and in all likelihood, no Andre Iguodala. We've got a lot of football to talk about. We have a three-hour show, and we say hello to Doug Christie. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Napes, how are you, man? Thanksgiving good?
Yeah, everything was good. You know, it was quick. I only had to sit at the table for about 6.5 minutes, and then I was back to watching football. So it was perfect. I couldn't have asked for a better Thanksgiving.
I could picture you in my mind's eye. You are the best, man.
Hey, it was all good. I'll tell you what is not all good, and that's the AFC West, which is just a disgraceful exhibition of football. The Chiefs stink. The Broncos stink. The Raiders aren't very good. I think that barring injury, the Chargers are going to end up rolling and winning this division. They are clearly right now, and it's not even close, the best team in that division. And we need to talk about the melee that happened early in the game right across from where I am now with the Raiders and the Broncos. I've said this for years, and I'm going to say it again, okay? If you wear jewelry on the field, then you have no right to complain. There's no reason why anybody should be wearing a necklace or anything kind of jewelry on an NFL field. I mean, leave it in the locker room, leave it at home, all right? So I'm going to start with that. With that said, Talib is just a punk, all right? He's just an absolute punk. He's a very talented player, but it's a bad look. It's just a bad look all the way around. The Raiders don't help themselves. Gabe Jackson, you know, pushing down the official. Don't be surprised if there are more suspensions announced here in the next 24 hours.
I you know, Grant, Talib and Crabtree, you guys got something going. If you want to hurt both of your teams, that's one thing. But by doing that, you just mentioned Gabe, you put your offensive linemen in harm's way. This is a game that the Raiders must win. You can never put yourself above the team when it comes to that sort of thing. And that I agree with you, Grant. It was ugly all the way around.
It's ugly all the way around. It's a bad look for the Raiders. It's a bad look for the Broncos. It's a bad look for the National Football League. And, boy, how bad was Paxton Lynch? I mean, how bad did he look? I mean, it's almost like the Broncos knew they weren't going to win the game. He misfired on the very first series. He had a guy wide open that should have been a touchdown. He overthrew them. The play call on second down and goal from the one where the ball was intercepted, which turned the entire game around, was a horrible call with a young quarterback. The Broncos, as soon as when they went to Trevor Siemian, they were a real football team. They were a much better team, and had there been a few more minutes left in the game, they might very well have tied it. But, geez, how bad did Lynch look? He looked horrible.
You know, Napes, was it you're trying to find out? Because from my understanding, the new offensive coordinator, he said without saying it that, look, this is above my pay grade. This isn't probably the way that I would go putting Paxton Lynch in there above Siemian, but it is what in all likelihood, this is what I have to do. And you could see the young fella on top of the fact, I don't know what he hurt. I mean, but it looked like he was crying on the sideline. I mean, something absolutely got hurt with him, but not ready for the situation. And you look at Siemian putting him in, he looked a lot better, I would agree with you, than Lynch did. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, now the Raiders have a chance to get back to .500 with the Giants coming in on Sunday, a game they should, I underscore, they should win. But the Raiders, to me, were not impressive at all yesterday. And then there are the Kansas City Chiefs. And what on earth has happened to the Chiefs? They can't move the ball up and down the field. They can't score. They can't Doug, they look so different than they did just a couple of weeks ago that it's mind-boggling. And really, for all intents and purposes, it's the exact same personnel.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Is it play calling exactly defensive? You know, we mentioned their safety going out. Defensively, do you got that same type of – I just don't know, Grant. You look at them, this is a total different ball club. And I brought it up to you. You said no way. I talked to Pete Youngman, Kings trainer, who's a big-time fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. Is there going to be Pat Mahomes conversations? And I think they're going to start happening because Smith did not look just all around they didn't look
well. They're not going to happen until the Chiefs are out of the race. They're not putting Pat Mahomes in. They're not putting Patrick Mahomes in. Hey, Bill, what's that background noise I'm hearing? What's that noise? In there's somebody. Do we have an auxiliary mic open somewhere down underneath the arena? All right. Well, we had some interference there. Doug, could you hear that, or was that only me?
No, that was only you.
Okay. All right. It's gone now. But as they're not putting Pat Mahomes in now, there's just no way that Andy Reid is putting that quarterback in this race. Not happening. just not happening.
Well, I was bullish on the Chargers. They fell on their face, but boy, oh boy, they come back. And Phillip Rivers, out of all the quarterbacks in this division, is the most solid one. He is a gunslinger. I will say that. But they are playing some football in Los Angeles. Go figure. Both Los Angeles teams are looking good right now.
Yep. Boy, they are looking good. And you talk about the Rams. That's a statement game after what happened last week in Minneapolis on the road, you know, taking on a good Vikings team. But you know what? Anyone that doubted the Rams, no one's doubting the Rams anymore. They played very well on both sides of the ball against a red-hot New Orleans team with a veteran quarterback. And now all of a sudden, the NFC is looking like this is going to be a dandy of a race, because you got Philadelphia that's just a little bit ahead of the other teams. Then you have Minnesota, and I'm not going in any particular order, but you got to put Philadelphia one. Then you've got Minnesota, okay?
Yep.
You have got the Rams. You have to look still at the Saints, all right? They are very much in there. And, you know, I got to go with Carolina. I mean, they keep on winning. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm not ready to go with Seahawks yet, Doug. I think I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to have a difficult time here down the stretch. But I can't rule them out because of their experience and their veteran quarterback. But I just, you know, to me, when I look at the Eagles, when I look at the Vikings, and again, I'm aware that Seattle won in L.A. earlier in the year in a very, very important game. Seattle had to go down there and win, and they did. But right now, the NFC, all of a sudden, you got maybe four or five teams that look darn good.
Yeah, you do. When you talk about the Panthers, that's a scary one, because defensively, if they click into what they had been and Cam Newton is playing, well, watch out. Then the Falcons. I know that you haven't been high on those Falcons, Grant, but if they continue to win right now, they are tied with the Seahawks, and they beat the Seahawks. So this in Seattle, you got Sanu, you got Julio Jones doing 250 yards. That is a club that you got to be careful of. And you know what? I would say that both wild cards look like they're probably going to come out of the NFC South.
Absolutely. Could very well be. I think you're spot on. So we're going to talk about a lot of football today. We take your phone calls at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, again, you know, we talk about some of the things that are going on, not necessarily on the field, but around teams. You know, there's rumblings coming out of Dallas that some of the players are not on board with Jason Garrett and the coaching staff. You know what bothers me about that? Last year, the Dallas Cowboys were the number one seed in the NFC, okay?
Right.
And all we heard about was the praise for Jason Garrett, and we heard praise for the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, and now they hit the skids without Tyron Smith for two games. Then they don't have Elliott. And now all of a sudden the players have a couple of rumblings about the coach. You know what? Shut up. Go out and play the game. It just drives me crazy.
You know, the crazy thing, Grant, is what this speaks to. It's what winning covers up. Because if you had Ezekiel Elliott, if you had Sean Lee, and you were playing at full strength and you were winning these games by 7 points, 10 points, maybe blowing out someone here or there, you wouldn't hear any of this stuff. It would go underneath the radar, but it would still be there and it'd be festering, obviously, because if it's coming out now, that means that, you know, they get the little bickering clubs and different things when things don't go well. When it's going fine, everyone's quiet. But boy, oh boy, I would say big self-destruction button in Dallas ready to be hit.
All right, so we've got that going on. You had the absolute embarrassing situation over the last 24 hours as it related to Greg Schiano and the Tennessee Volunteers. You know, you had a college football that was turned upside down on their head over the weekend with the games with Auburn beating Alabama. That just completely changes the landscape of college football as we head into a huge weekend. Dan Wolkin, USA Today, is going to come on and try to break it down for us with some huge games. Miami losing to Pitt. I mean, this was a crazy back-to-back weekends of just incredible games that were, you know, really we couldn't guess.
You know, Grant, it didn't start out that way, but boy, oh boy, as the seasons went on, it has absolutely picked up. I think Alabama on the outside at 5 looking in. You know, I want to ask about Wisconsin and the fact that they're undefeated, but they seem to – everyone's kind of needling at them and saying, look, if they beat Ohio State, I would say that they're in. It's going to be interesting. If you can keep Alabama out, or do they make it in? They're the only team that's always been in the playoffs since the playoffs started.
All right, so we've got the Raiders. Again, my opinion as I sit here today, I believe that Michael Crabtree will be suspended for one more game. I don't know yet about Gabe Jackson, but when they break down the video, the Broncos are very adamant about this. Now, again, this is the Broncos, you know, but if you remember, the play before the melee, Chris Harris Jr. Was hurt. And as he was walking off the field, he had some harsh things to say to the Raiders sideline, and namely Crabtree. Chris Harris said that this was after the game, not today. He said after the game here yesterday that Crabtree had punched him in the stomach one play before the fight broke out. And the NFL will examine this, and they will figure this out, okay? And again, now this is Tlaib. And again, I'm only going by what he said. Quote, I did not defend Chris. Crabtree came and punched me. He was on his whatever he was on. That's what Tlaib said. All right. Here's what I do know. The NFL right now is dissecting this game frame by frame. And if indeed Crabtree punched Harris like it was described, okay, then Crabtree, to me, based on everything else that happened yesterday, I can't imagine the NFL not suspending him for one game. I also will be very curious to see if they give Gabe Jackson a one-game suspension for knocking down the official. Say what you want. You can't knock down the official. And do I think that Gabe Jackson intended to knock down the official? I do not. But you can't have that.
You know, that will be everything for Gabe Jackson, because you can even say that, you know, touching an official is worse than those guys fighting, because they are in competition and things can get out of control. Intention, I think, for what Gabe was doing is going to be – that's going to be the justice of whether it is a game. I think it probably will be. I definitely think Michael Crabtree probably gets another game as well, and that's my point, Grant. You can't put the team above because, yeah, for that one game, you get suspended for the rest of the game, but now you go into another game and you guys are depleted. Amari Cooper, you don't know what's going to happen with him. He gets knocked out during the game. You put yourself in a bad place.
Yeah, Amari Cooper is now under concussion protocol. And I agree with Rich Gannon. I didn't think that, and again, it doesn't matter. He still would have had a concussion. I didn't think that was an egregious hit. I don't think it was hitting a defenseless player. I think the officials got that wrong. The officials continue to get a lot of calls wrong in the NFL. I think it's a big problem. I don't have the answers. I don't have the solution. But we're seeing a lot of bad calls made in critical junctures in the National Football League. Some real bad calls were made this weekend, like where it just leaves you scratching your head.
You know, Grant, it's – part of it is the whole concussion. Part of it is defenseless receiver, all those different things. Totally get it, hands to the face, all the different things. But a lot of those hits that I'm seeing, the offensive player is trying to get down, and now you're lowering the target. A guy's coming in, he sets his head, he sets his body to hit, and the offensive player seems to come to that level. So that's where I would agree with you that those are bad calls. You're going to have to look at them and don't just get hypersensitive to the fact of these are the type of hits. You got to make sure that you're calling them correctly.
Bad news coming out of the 49ers, and I think the players here have a reason to beef. The fans were cheering when their quarterback C.J. Beathard got hurt when he was still on the ground, and that's awful. I mean, it's terrible.
Grant, it doesn't get any worse than that. I don't care how bad you want Jimmy Garoppolo on the field. Look, Beathard's out there. He is fighting and scratching and clawing, not only for his professional life, but he's representing the 49ers and the shield that's on the helmet and you clap for a guy getting hurt? That's just, man, terrible.
Yeah. I believe that the fans were clapping more for the fact that they knew that they were going to see Jimmy Garoppolo, but it's just a bad look. You know, it's just a bad, bad look. So, anyway, we got all those things to talk about. Again, you know, college football is, you know, upside down right now. I'll just say this, okay? I don't care if Ohio State beats Wisconsin or not. Ohio State's not one of the four best teams in college football. If they get in, then to me, this will be really bad. They don't deserve to get in. Their two losses are bad. The loss at Iowa was embarrassingly bad. They beat a Michigan team with a terrible quarterback. They had to fight and claw to beat a bad quarterback for Michigan. They, to me, they should not factor in to this Final Four. Obviously, the winner of Auburn and Georgia gets in. To me, Alabama Alabama clearly should get in as one of the top four seeds. I mean, listen, they lost a game, a close game, right? They lost a game to the sixth-ranked team in the country, and it was their only loss, and it was on the road. Why are they not a Final Four team? To me, they are still clearly one of the top four teams in college football.
I would agree with you, Grant.
And I'm not an Alabama fan.
Right.
I mean,
it's
not like I you know what I mean? To me, I don't see how they are not one of the top four teams in college football.
Yeah, but what's going to end up coming down here is sometimes it's when you lose, because, you know, you lose at, you are 11-0 and then you lose one. So now this comes at the end of the year, right, for conference championships and all that. And go to your point of Ohio State. Last year, Ohio State's complaining and saying, oh, Penn State shouldn't make it, even though that they were the champion. This year, when they maybe beat Wisconsin, they're the champion. Now they're going to be for it. So you're always cheering for what you need.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think they'll beat Wisconsin, but even if they do, I don't think they they're one of the top four teams. To me, you know, the top four teams right now as we sit here today are, and this is just the way I look at it, all right? To me, Alabama is one of the top, and I'm not going in any order. You can go in any order you want. Alabama, to me, is one of the top four teams in college football, all right?
Yep.
To me, Oklahoma is one of the top four teams in college football. I know Wisconsin is undefeated, and for that reason, how can I put them out of the top four? I know that the you know, their conference is not you know, great this year, but it's, you know, I have to include Wisconsin. To me, Doug, if Wisconsin wins this weekend, they're in. There's automatically, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So you would have Wisconsin and Alabama, in my opinion, and then the winner of the Georgia-Auburn game, and then you go, well, Grant, wait a minute, that would be two teams from the SEC and one two-loss team in Auburn, and I get that, but if they go and win the SEC championship, how do you not put them in?
Well, I'm agreeing with your premise. I can see if Wisconsin, even at 12-0, if they win, obviously they're in. But you gotta have Clemson. I got Oklahoma in there. I agree with you. Auburn, Georgia, that winner in Alabama.
That's if Clemson wins their last game.
Right, if they win, exactly.
I mean, they have to beat Miami to get in. If Clemson loses to Miami, I can't put Clemson in. They would not be a Final Four team if they lose the ACC championship to Miami. I can't put them in.
So imagine if Clemson loses and Wisconsin loses. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be a lot of chatter, Napes.
Yeah, it will be. But again, I can't put Clemson in with two losses. If they lose, you know, that would put them at 11-2. They're not a Final Four team. Now, what you're saying, what would happen if? What happens if Miami beats Clemson?
Right.
What happens if Ohio State beats Wisconsin?
Yep.
What happens if Auburn beats Georgia? Then all of a sudden, wow. You know, then you're like,
I don't know. And if Georgia
and then
beats
Oklahoma,
Auburn, Georgia was
if,
number one.
Well, what happens if TCU beats Oklahoma?
Holy moly. That would give
Oklahoma 11-2. That would give Clemson 11-2. That would put Wisconsin at 12-1. And, you know, I mean, then what? Then to me, Alabama is one of the Final Four teams. I don't see how you can't put Alabama in there with one loss.
Yeah,
you have to put them in there. They're one of the top teams in college football.
Yeah, their body of work speaks to that, Grant. I would agree with you there. But all those things that you mentioned, TCU winning, you mentioned Georgia maybe winning, Ohio State and Miami winning, I think that we probably see three out of those four happen this weekend. So it'll be interesting for the committee.
All right. If you want to call in, you can at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You and I have not talked yet since the meltdown over the weekend in the third quarter when the Kings were outscored 29-10 against the Clippers. That was the first game where both Frank Mason and De'Aaron Fox were completely ineffective. And I'm not blaming the loss on them, but generally either one or the other plays well. That was Frank Mason's, you know, worst game as a rookie, and that's going to happen. He's a rookie. Clearly, the Kings in that third quarter, just they looked like they had never been on a court before in the NBA. That's how bad they were.
Well, it was a tale of two halves. I went back, Grant, and watched it again. I mean, the first half, there was ball movement, body movement, extra pass up a good shot to get a great shot. You come out in the third quarter, and you hit a couple shots, and you get an 18-point lead. And then all of a sudden, defensively, boy, oh, boy, Lou Williams hits three threes in a row. Austin River has a three-point play. Great Blake Griffin gets a layup and hits a three. And there you got it, 17-0 run, and it's stopped by Zach Randolph hitting two free throws. throws, and the game was over. And it went to ISO ball, one pass, a bunch of dribbles, and you're shooting the basketball. That's not how you got the lead. That's not how you're going to compete and win in this league. And unfortunately, that's what the Kings turned to in the second half.
All right, Dan Wolkin, college football reporter for USA Today at 4:30. Herm Edwards, ESPN, is going to come on with us at 5. And then Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, he's going to check in with us at 5:30. Doug and I are taking you right up till 6. It's Kings basketball at 7:30. And again, no Steph Curry, no Kevin Durant, probably no Andre Iguodala. So those three, the first two definitively, but probably no Iguodala. He is officially listed as doubtful. So we'll see. You know, the Warriors, even without those players, are still a good team. They'll get a look at Omri Caspi tonight, the former Sacramento King. They'll get a look at a team, and we've talked a lot about the rookie Jordan Bell, and I'm looking forward to seeing him play. He's another good-looking young kid.
Yeah, you know, offensively, he's not going to do the skill things offensively,
right,
like jump shooting and things. But when you talk about motor, Grant has an absolute incredible motor, has an IQ for the game, screening, rolling, picking defensively. He's going to swing at everything. He's going to get all the rebounds. Defensively, he gets after it, charges, all the different things. So, yeah, he's a young player, and he gives it up.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We got a busy day as there are so many things to talk about. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you're looking at the AFC West, by the way, the Chargers, they already have won this week as they are home to the Cleveland Browns. What an inept, pathetic franchise the Cleveland Browns are. Really, it's an embarrassment. For the great fans of Cleveland, and I really mean that because the fans there are phenomenal, what an embarrassment the Cleveland Browns are. It's embarrassing.
It's terrible. Really, for fans like that, Grant, you know how cold it gets in Cleveland, first of all, and when it's football time and they are out there, they're representing, they're going crazy.
Yep.
They got the dog pound, they're doing it big. And, yeah, it's bad.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I will be there next week. I'll give you a firsthand report on the mistake on the lake right there on the shores of Lake Erie. All right, we'll come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, I guess Marc Gasol is running the Memphis Grizzlies franchise more so than Coach Fizdale, who no longer is their coach. Were you surprised by that? Because I was.
Yeah, I had to check it twice, Grant, when I saw it. I from all intents and purposes, from all that I've ever heard, is they were doing good. Things were going well. They were changing culture. A lot of different good things, I think, that he brought from Miami. And then just bang, I didn't hear anything about it, and then it just dropped. So I had to check it twice. It really surprised me, Napes.
Yeah, after the game last night in which they lost their eighth or ninth in a row, I believe, and Marc Gasol did not play in the fourth quarter, and Marc Gasol was not, to put it in a he was less than how would I want to say he was less than complimentary towards anything that was going on with the coaching staff. Let's just put it that way. He almost basically called out the coach, and Coach Fizdale, and I'm paraphrasing here, basically said, "Hey," and he was asked, "Do you owe Marc Gasol an explanation, or do you plan on meeting with him?" And he said, basically, no, I'm trying to win a game. The players that I had in were playing very well, and that's why I left them in there. And, when he was asked, do you plan on addressing this with Mark, he said, no, not unless it needs to be addressed. Marc Gasol's comments were less than flattering towards Coach Fizdale after the game. And, here's what this shows me, okay? Now, I'm not behind the walls of the Memphis Grizzlies organization. I don't know what the real story is. But what it appears from the outside is that, Marc Gasol now is making the decisions with the Memphis Grizzlies.
That is that's amazing, Grant. I just, an organization that went through some coaches, that our coach, Coach Yeager, was there. And then they were 50-plus win team, Western Conference Finals, Western Conference Semis, Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol, huge contract, Conley, huge contract, and now 8-game losing streak, things aren't going well, you fire your coach. I guess that what that's saying, to your point, is Marc Gasol is going to be the cornerstone of this franchise, and we're going to get a coach in here who works well with him.
Yeah, the question is, will Marc Gasol finish his NBA career in Memphis? Will he look to, you know, go elsewhere? You know, and again, I understand how difficult it must be. You went through this, even though it wasn't with Sacramento. When you come so close to winning and then you go to a bad situation like you were in towards the end of your career, I gotta believe that's hard for a veteran to go through, isn't it?
Absolutely, Grant, because you go from one culture to the next, and there are so many different things that go with culture, meaning practice, the way that you practice, just, you know, how you process losses and different things. And when you go from a winning situation and, you know, that is what is expected, and a lot of things go with that, then you go into that losing one. It is an absolute shock. And when it happens toward the end of your career, it is disheartening in a lot of ways, Grant.
All right, Coach Fizdale out as a head coach, and we'll keep you up to date on whether or not J.B. Bickerstaff has been named interim coach. But
yeah.
I guess we'll find out, right? I don't know if that's going to make a difference. I guess what I'm looking at with this team, they don't have Zach Randolph. He's in Sacramento. Mike Conley is hurt, okay? They don't have Tony Allen. He's not playing there anymore. So what do you really expect from the coach without your basically, you know, elite point guard? What do you like? Why does that fall back on the coach? You know,
Grant, I have no idea. That's why I said I heard so many positive things. Now to just right away just fire someone. You say Mike Conley's down. Marc Gasol, there was a style of basketball that went with him. Actually, he can play in this style of basketball because there's a big. He's at the high post. He can pass and score and all the different things. But then you also paid Chandler Parsons, who hasn't really done too much of anything. This roster, when you look at it, Grant, it doesn't speak to the fact of a whole bunch of winning, but you know, someone's head has to be on the chopping block, and today, unfortunately, it was Fizdale's.
All right, again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And again, Doug and I aren't there. We don't know if Coach Fizdale lost the entire locker room. And when you've seen it, I've seen it, when a coach loses a locker room, then you have to make a change. Now, I don't know if that happened, but you have to make a change.
Well, you know, not only do you have to make a change, but Grant, when you lose a locker room, that's one thing. But when it doesn't sound like he necessarily lost the whole locker room. It sounds like he lost the linchpin of the locker room.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Right.
Yes. And I think you hit that's very well said.
Yeah, and that's even worse sometimes, Grant, because once that happens, it's all downhill because he's got the ear of the owner and a lot of, I don't know all the intricacies of what it is, but you and I have been around it and know the nuances of how that goes. And when you lose that guy, oh, boy.
Again, this is in the last 40 games, the Memphis Grizzlies were 14-26. Okay. And, you know, this is not a secret that the relationship, even going back to last year, between Coach Fizdale and Marc Gasol was strained, to put it mildly. And then he was benched last night in the fourth quarter, and Gasol did not, you know, take kindly to that, considering he had played so well in the first half. And so I guess, you know, what, are you going to fire 13 players or are you going to fire the coach?
You're going to fire the coach. The next thing will be, you know, general manager, and it goes down. You don't fire the owner, and you will get rid of some players here or there, but stylistically, what is the style? It was grindhouse for a long time, Grant, and it was defense, and you had some of the best, Tony Allen, best defender. You had Mike Conley, who was healthy. Now he's not healthy. You got Chandler Parsons, who's not healthy that much, and the only guy that you really got is Marc Gasol, and he's the highest paid player on your team, and you don't want to upset that one.
No, if you're a coach in a new situation like Coach Fizdale was last year, you have to figure out a way to have a positive relationship with your best player. It doesn't really matter whether you like him or not. You have to figure out a way to have a positive relationship with that individual.
Yeah, not only a positive relationship, but then you got to devise a plan that is conducive for you guys to win, because the lineup, Grant, that they have there, Jamichael Green, Tyreke Evans, Andrew Harrison, Dylan Brooks, Chandler Parsons, this doesn't say grindhouse basketball. That's not what this is. This is a new day. And what is that style going to be? I don't know, but it wasn't solved with Fizdale. And by getting on the outs with Marc Gasol was the worst thing he probably could have did.
All right, so if you want to talk about anything going on in the NBA, tonight the Kings are in Oakland, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, no Steph Curry, no Kevin Durant, and no Andre Iguodala in all likelihood. The first two are out. Iguodala is doubtful. Draymond Green, the official language from the Warriors, is that he is available to play. So I would imagine that he will play. Now, Durant did not play here two nights ago when they beat the Pelicans 110-95. Durant missed that game. Curry played. And, you know, again, but he's not playing tonight. So, again, you know what? If you're the Kings, it's really not really who you're playing. It's more about working on your own game, Doug. They're so young. I want to see De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason have good games because they both did not play well against the Clippers. So I want to see those two. I want to see Bogdan, you know, bounce back and have a good game. I want to see, you know, again, the Kings as their young players. I want to see them, you know, play well tonight.
Yeah, you want to accept the challenge. These are the world champs. It doesn't matter if they got a couple guys out. Believe me that they will come in with guys that will be productive in the system that they make more threes than the Kings attempt. Free throws, the same thing. Or not make more threes than Kings attempt. More free throws than the Kings attempt. They fast break, rebounding. Defensively, they're solid. But, you know, they're 29th in fast break points, Grant. But you got to be careful there because they want to get you into that fast-paced game, because once they do, they'll give you a couple points and then they'll go on a 15-0 run, and before you know it, you're blown out of the building. This is not only learning to compete, but learning how to process a game like this and compete at a really high level against a really good team.
All right. Again, if you want to call the program, you can at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. A lot of NFL that Doug and I have gone over. And again, it started with the ugly incident yesterday here in Oakland with the Broncos and the Raiders. And there's nothing good that came out of that at all. Nothing good of that. It's a bad look for the Raiders. Bad look for the Broncos. That is a bad, bad look for the National Football League. There is no other way to say it. That is a bad, bad look for the National Football League. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls and more right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Who is it? Who is it? All right, we are back with you, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140 and 800-920-1141. We get to Darren. Hello, Darren.
Grant, how's it going, Doug?
What's happening?
Yeah, I just want to say about this college football. I mean, this is a mess. I mean, like you said, Alabama, still think they can too. But if, you know, if Clemson wins, Oklahoma wins, you know, and then you got, you know, the other teams, everyone wins, Wisconsin wins, even UCSF, you know, with Florida. You know, if they win, do you take Alabama? Do you take a Wisconsin that's undefeated? You know, nobody's looking at Central Florida either.
Well, again, Central Florida's not in the picture. They're not getting in. Alabama, to me, actually, I think Alabama might be in the best position out of anyone because they don't have to play an extra game. And they're going to get in. I don't see any way in the world the committee does not put Alabama in. I think they have to for a variety of reasons. Number one, they only have one loss, and it was to a highly ranked team, and it was on the road. That's first and foremost, okay? Secondly, they're a huge draw. They're Alabama. I think that just that alone, in addition to what they accomplished on the field this year, and their only loss was a close loss to the sixth-ranked team that the week before just knocked off the number one team in the country. And again, it was on the road, even though that rivalry game, you can call it. But, you know, again, it was on Auburn's home field. I don't see any way in the world the committee does not take Alabama. I don't see any scenario where Alabama's not one of the four teams.
So if everyone wins out that they're supposed to win, and Wisconsin wins, they're going to get the shaft, right?
Well, you know what? You're talking about, will Wisconsin get the shaft? Yeah, they probably will.
They probably will, right. Okay, all right. Also, too, a quick question. What do you guys feel about the coaching changes, Chip Kelly, UCLA, happening, Dan Mullen going to Florida, and you think Scott Frost is going to end up in Nebraska? You think he's going to go home?
Great question.
I like
we're
Chip.
Talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I like Chip Kelly.
We're going to talk with Dan Wolkin about all of these things. He's a college football reporter for USA Today at 4:30. So we should be able to get a little bit of clarity from his perspective.
Will you guys take care of the live show?
Hey, thanks for listening. You know, he brings up a very good question, you know, the what ifs, because right now we are talking a lot of what ifs. I just don't see how Alabama's not one of the Final Four teams. I just don't see any scenario where they're not playing.
You know, Grant, obviously you had mentioned earlier that this is interesting because Alabama is going to be sitting pat, but Georgia has to play Auburn, Wisconsin has to play Ohio State, TCU, Oklahoma, Clemson obviously is going to be playing Miami. So that in and of itself, all that shakeup that's going to go on, if Wisconsin does beat Ohio State and some of these things stay status quo, I just find it hard to keep Alabama out of it. One loss team, strength of schedule. They've shown the consistency that these other teams have not, with the exception of Clemson. They've been in it for a couple of years. Oklahoma has the ability to always get there at the end and then lose. And Wisconsin hasn't really been there before. Auburn has won,
right,
but it's been a few years. So I just think it'll be really tough.
Do I think Clemson is in if they beat Miami this week? Yes, I do. Do I think Oklahoma is in if they beat TCU? Yes, I do. And Alabama, to me, I think maybe in the best position if they get in, and I think they will, by not having to play the extra game.
Yeah, that's going to, I think, be their bonus. They're going to be able to sit back. Now, they could have took care of it by winning, obviously, but they didn't. And you mentioned it, Grant. On the road at the same time. This isn't like they went on the road and they got blown out like you've seen Ohio State and some other teams do. Penn State.
Yeah, I can't take Ohio State. They got beat badly on their home field by Oklahoma. Not a close game, all right? If it's a close game, I can say, okay, it was Oklahoma. They got beat badly. Then they go and take on Iowa on the road, who, you know, Iowa's horrible, and they're not even in the game. You don't get in with two losses like that. I don't care. You just can't get in.
Yeah, and some of these teams, they had it set up for themselves. Miami had it set up right in front of them and go out and blow it. Those teams that show the ability to be great and then they can't close the deal, this is something that Alabama has done year in and year out. That's why I say they're probably in.
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And again, you know, what would happen if Wisconsin and Oklahoma win on Saturday? The question is, what happens?
Yeah. Grant, I to be in that room and to leave a 13-0 Wisconsin team out and they win their conference, wow. Obviously, it happened to Penn State last year. They weren't undefeated, but they went and they won, and they put Ohio State in there anyway. So this is – but undefeated, that is something I want to see it. I can't wait. It's going to be some interesting stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Wisconsin, I think they are going to win. And so how do you take a 13-0 team in a major conference and not put them into – the Final Four? I think you have to.
You know what, Grant? I'm going against you here. I think that Ohio State gets them. I think that that's just kind of how the season has went. It's been so much up and down. It didn't start out great, but now we're getting some great games and upsets and what have you. I think Ohio State, being in this position before, they find a way to get this one done.
All right. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. A lot of college football, a lot of NFL football, a lot of NBA with the Kings in action tonight. Great time of the year. And this coming week in college football with the conference championship games are absolutely going to be huge. Absolutely going to be huge. And again, Dan Wolkin, USA Today, he's going to come on with us at 4:30. Try to figure out, you know, who's automatically in, and, well, let's put it this way, not who's automatically in, but who he thinks will clearly get in if they win on Saturday. And then, you know, who's the one team that is going to be left scratching their head when this thing's all said and done?
Yeah, you know, Grant, you ask a really valid question. Who's automatically in? Because by this time, since we've had this playoff, there's always been someone, absolutely, But this year, no. Alabama really were the only ones, in my opinion, that had a chance. If they would have been undefeated at this particular point, you could hands down say Alabama is in. But everyone else, there's an asterisk, because if Clemson loses, if Oklahoma loses, if Wisconsin loses, if Auburn loses, somebody, Georgia's stepping in there. Georgia was number one at one point during the season this year. So they would be in, I would think. So, yeah, this is unprecedented.
All right, let's get to Jeff. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Grant. How you doing? Hey, Doug.
What's happening?
Hey, not much. Just got a comment on this conversation about Alabama. You know, you see no way that Alabama gets in.
No, and no, I didn't say that. I said that I don't see any way they don't get in, but there is a obviously.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Go ahead.
No. Anyways, again, now I love your guys' show, so please just take this with a grain of salt.
Well, just answer, just go ahead. Just go say what you want to say. We don't need ground rules. Go ahead.
All right. I think you guys are drinking the Kool-Aid for the SEC. Again, I think this conference is heavily overranked. I feel like it's completely biased with ESPN and all of the media attention that this conference gets. And if Wisconsin wins out, they beat Ohio State, and they don't get in, then to me, the national championship playoff is meaningless. Because Wisconsin is a part of the Big Ten. They're a Power Five conference.
Okay, yeah, fair Alabama's enough. Let me, all right, now, you know what? You're right. Now, let me stop you right now, okay, because you bring up a good point. Name me one good team that Wisconsin beat this year. Just name one.
You know what, Grant? I'm not a Wisconsin
well,
fan.
I'll help you out here. I'll help you out here. They haven't beat a good team all year. I mean, unless you consider Michigan a good team, they beat them 24-10. But, you know, again, they haven't played anybody. Let me read their schedule for you, okay?
Okay.
Again, their schedule is a joke. Unfortunately, the year that they're, you know, Nebraska's terrible this year. Purdue's terrible. Maryland, at Illinois, at Indiana, Iowa, at Minnesota. I mean, you know, FAU, I don't even know who the hell that is. USU, 59, they haven't played anybody. Their schedule is cupcakesville. It's a joke. They don't have one quality win on their schedule.
Let me ask you this, Grant. Do you know who Troy is?
Yes, I do know who Troy is.
Troy beat LSU. Do you know what LSU is ranked right now? That's a classic example of the SEC being overvalued and overranked. And
okay, but that doesn't.
It biases the rankings all season long, and then you get this discussion, and you get two SEC teams in the playoff, which I think is a travesty.
That's fine, and I'm not saying that it's not a travesty. I'm not saying you're wrong there. All I'm saying is, when you look at quality of schedules, Wisconsin doesn't have a leg to stand on. They haven't played anybody. I mean, they just haven't. Their schedule has been a joke. Now, I'm not saying Alabama's played, you know, the toughest schedule in college football. I'm not saying that, but, I mean, it's tougher than what Wisconsin went through. And I'm not – again, you make a good argument. There are a lot of people that agree with you that the SEC is overvalued and they shouldn't have two teams make it into the Final Four. Here's the question I have for you, because you bring up a point that is worth exploring. If Auburn beats Georgia this week – all right, for the second time in 3 weeks in the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. Should a two-loss SEC team, even with everything I just told you, get in over a 13-0 team from the Big Ten? And you know what? Even though I'm going to surprise you with this, I'm not so sure that a two-loss SEC team should get in over a 13-0 Big Ten team. As a matter of fact, I don't think they should.
You know, I think it makes it really tough for the committee, but I think Auburn gets in before Alabama because they just beat Alabama.
Yeah, you make a valid point there. But, if they are 13-0, they are, like you say, Power 5, Big 10, they probably make it. But with that schedule, that's, to your point, the caller's point, Grant, that's going to be something I think that's going to have to get addressed is who you guys are playing and you come in with an undefeated record as opposed to SEC football normally is really tough, meaning they usually get the best recruits in those sort of things.
Hour number one in the books. We'll come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.